I don't know if this recording is going to be, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be a one for the podcast. I think it's going to be one for the personal scope. This is Sunday, the 1st of October, 2023. Somebody's zooming past me. Of course, I'm doing 55. Guess I'm trying to save gas. I don't know. Doesn't hurt to save gas, I guess. I could go faster, I suppose, but I don't see the point. Anyway, I'm coming into Moriarty. No, this is Moriarty. This is Mountaineer. Kind of always gotten a little bit of kick out of this job. It's right at the very tail end of the Monzano Mountains, and I don't know what the mountains are called going south of it. Something. Some other kind of mount. This was really Pinto Bean territory back in the day when this place was first being settled, when the roads were coming through and the railroads were coming through here, and they would have to stop. The farmers around here were doing Pinto Beans. And this was kind of the Pinto Bean capital of, I don't know if it was the world, but New Mexico for sure. And lot of the little communities around here that basically just flat barely exist or don't exist were about Pinto Beans. Anyway, Pinto Beans aren't a big thing anymore. Although they are a staple of Mexican diets, and it was pretty much a staple for in New Mexico too. Mexico and New Mexico have very little in common. New Mexico is not a satellite of Mexico. It was basically created from in Spanish times, and although many Mexicans have chosen to move here when it became part of the United States, a lot of the people here with Spanish surnames, Hispanics, were Spaniards, and Pinto beans were something that had a reasonable opportunity to grow here. Anyway, so that's kind of how things go. Anyway, and I was reading this out of this book that I got not too long ago about Highway 60. This I think it was a lady had done a lot of research and had pulled together a book about Highway 60 that went through New Mexico. And it had a lot to do with the railroad because there is definitely a railroad, the Blinn Cutoff, that really was the first thing, and the road that ran beside the railroad, the Blinn Cutoff between Clovis and Blinn, and then onward past that. Anyway, it was that kind of a road. There was a cute little, oh, I'm sorry, it's not cute. There was a spur that went off of the main railroad going north and south through New Mexico, that went through Socorro, and they had a spur that went off up the pass to Magdalena, and that was a big route. A whole bunch of people who kept cows on the west side of New Mexico, on into Arizona even, they would drive their cattle to Magdalena to meet up with that railroad, very significant railroad that pretty much followed, well, there's actually kind of two. One that followed pretty closely the Rio Grande River, and another one that went through from Los from El Paso up to up through Tucumcari and then to all points east. Tucumcari was a real division center for a lot of the traffic going from west to east. There was also Dawson, a big mining town in northern New Mexico, and its railroad connection went from Dawson down to Roy, from Roy to Mascaro, from Mascaro to Tucumcari, and that way. You think about, well, why didn't you name Logan? And you go, Logan didn't exist. Logan was kind of a railroad town there, but it was mostly out of Tucumcari going toward the east that went through Logan. That's not where the railroad from Roy and Mascaro came through. Those actually went directly south to Tucumcari, met up with the main railroad line there, and then all points east for taking that coal to mostly points east, maybe points west, probably not. Anyway, so it's really interesting to be on this road. I don't know. I always kind of got a kick on driving on this road. It's kind of rustic. When you start going further east from Tucumcari, pretty soon it quits being rustic and it starts being more just uninteresting. And when you start getting closer to Amarillo, it's much more settled, a lot more agriculture going on instead of just wilderness, which most of the road that I take is mostly wilderness. You can actually see it. You can see in satellite maps, like Google Maps, you can actually see pivots. It's these circles, you know, people talk about crop circles. These things are done by pivot irrigation. And so you get these big circles out in fields, and you can see where a lot of more intensive agriculture is done as opposed to just like ranches. As you go south toward Lubbock, for instance, you get a lot more of that agriculture, things like that. And I guess it just continues more south and east as you go. More developed, more civilized. I'm not much of a civilization guy, honestly, myself. I don't really know. Whoa, that was just a big truck went right past me and caused all kinds of weird issues. I'm going to go ahead and roll up my windows. Ooh, it's probably going to change the whole sound dynamic in here. I don't have to talk so loud. I got pretty good air going through here, and it's cool. It's nice. We're still getting 90 degree days, but it's going to start being the 80s more. And the nights are getting quite pleasant. It's getting down into the low 50s and the 40s before it just starts getting just desperately cold. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen to me. I've only got a few more years left of work. And, I don't like to talk about it because it indicates a difference of opinion between Lisa and I. And I don't like talking about those things. I don't like talking about the fact that I feel like sometimes the goalposts to when I can stop working kind of, I really do feel like I'm kind of just, it's not working like a slave. It's not like that. But doing stuff I'd rather not be doing. And people say, well, you should be grateful. And I should be. I should be. I'm not gonna dispute that. But I'd rather be retired. I'm getting close to where I can. I'm now 56. On my 58th birthday, I will officially qualify for my pension. Like June of 2025, I will officially be able to draw my pension. And it's tempting to go ahead and do that. Of course, the thing that always happens is if you don't start drawing it then and you wait till later, it'll be more money. And we had done, Lisa and I had done all the calculations as to how much more it was really going to be and whether and what that was really going to mean. And although working up until I was like going to be 60, which would be in June of 2027, I would probably make what, $200 more a month than I would make if I stopped working 2 years earlier. Now, I wasn't really intending on actually retiring. I'm a guy that likes to stay busy. And so I would be doing something, but I think I would try to find other things to do that I might enjoy more than computer work. And I know people get upset at me because they go, well, you're making so much money. Why don't you just learn how to enjoy that? And you go, you know what? Do you listen to yourself when you say that? Try to learn to enjoy something. So do you know how many years I've been doing this? And you go, you know what? I really haven't learned enjoyment of it yet. It's like squeezing me in a vice. And the thing that comes out is this is like my essence. It's like sucking the essence out of me in doing this. Not that I can't do it, but I just don't find any joy in it. And you're going, but everybody says, oh, just keep doing it. And I kind of get that impression from my wonderful Lisa Jane, too. That it's like, well, we can start taking that money, but we'll just put it in the bank, and you can just keep working. And it was funny. You know, first we said, okay, we'll just do it until up to 58. And then you can do something that you enjoy more. And then it became, well, I think it would be really good if you did it up until you were 60. And then it was, well, you need to do it until you're at least 62. And it's like, Lisa, you keep moving the goalposts on me. It used to be we actually had a countdown going for when I would turn 57 and that I could do something else. And now it's like, oh, no, you want that goalpost out there at 62. That's like, I'm not interested in that. Boy, that was a buck with, I don't know how many points he had, a few. A good buck. And he didn't choose to jump onto the road and get in front of me. And I'm grateful for that. Boy, oh, boy, though. what a thing. Anyway, I don't want to say, boy, she's being mean to me. And you go, it's tough though, because, you know, we talk about it sometimes and that's really, you know, and Lisa's like, well, You're not being very nice to me when you talk like that. You're going, Lisa, you're not being nice to me. What are you talking about? This doesn't have anything to do with you. It doesn't affect you, except it's just like, well, I'm going to have less money to work with. And you go, yeah. And you go, well, that affects me. And you go, yeah, but what do you do for it? You know, I said, I'm not trying to be rude. Who's getting squeezed? Who's getting the essence sucked out of them? Every time I go to the doctor says, you've got too much stress. You've got high blood pressure. You need to reduce your stress. And I'm going, you're really cute. I like you, doctor. But I've got to continue to make the money I make now. And, you know, honestly, every time I talk about changing and doing something different, I get the pretty good impression that that's not going to be tolerated. You know, and you go, well, you're going to get sick. And they go, no, I'm going to die. I says, and that was the big thing. I said, I told Lisa, I said, so what you're basically saying is you want me to keep working until I die doing something that I really hate doing and that I'm not really into. You know, this used to be my hobby. And as long as I kept it as a hobby, I kind of enjoyed it. It was a challenge. You know, every good hobby has some challenge to it. But it wasn't, oh, my gosh, I got to get this done. I got to get this. And there's this deadline and that deadline and this and that and this and that. You go, and I know my hobby is very lucrative. You go, for all I know, I'll come up with something when I'm back to a hobby, and it'll become this fantastic thing, and I'll make a ton of money, and I'll sell it to somebody else for several million dollars, and we'll be in great shape, Lisa. And you go, but I can't get there because I'm having to sell my soul for money just to keep us alive. And frankly, I come home and I'm kind of, yuck. I don't want to do anything. The thing I used to do for enjoyment, I can't do anymore because I don't have the time for it. And I'm, you know, it sucked all the joy out of what I had. And they go, well, it's the job that you're doing. And you go, yeah, it is. It's the job that I'm doing. Oh, boy. I'd love to get back to it being something else, but that's not going to, you know, but that doesn't seem to be in the cards. However much money I make now, I better the heck keep making pretty much that much money into the future, if not more, on a regular basis. Get a better job and a better job and a better job and a higher paying job. And it's like, yeah. And people just look at you and go, what are you complaining about? You go, there's no point in explaining it. It doesn't help. Anyway, so. But I'm trying to cultivate a decent attitude about it. What it does mean is that I need to be making more money on a regular basis to try to keep up with inflation. You know, and that means I can't just sit at one job and do what I do there. I've got to bounce around. And I'm looking at bouncing again here. And you're going, you've only been doing this for 6 months. You go, yeah. It says, and I got this impression that I didn't ask for enough money. And that I'm working below my value for the company. And I need to find another place, and it needs to pay me more commensurate. And I've been kind of, honestly, I've been kind of going, you know, I thought I was shooting for the moon with how much money I make here. And they didn't even flinch. They said, great, we'll pay that. And you're going, wow, it sounds like I could have asked for a lot more. And they would have kind of said, well, let's see if we can make. Yeah, I didn't get a counteroffer, and that's indicative. If I would have gotten a counteroffer, I would have known that I'm about at what my value was, and we could have dickered a little bit until we finally settled on a number. But I didn't get that. It's like, oh, well, shucks, okay. So my biggest thing is, well, let's see if I can find a better situation and make more money. Because that ends up being really what it is. Almost everything is tied to the amount of money that you made. You know, when it's like, well, at 62, you're going to start making Social Security. And you go, so what is that tied to? And you go, well, it's tied to, you know, there's a calculation for it, but it's tied to how much money you made, especially as you went along, how high it went. And so it behooves you to make more and more money over time so that your Social Security can be higher. And of course, it comes from the whole thing of, well, I really need something that makes it so I can, pardon me, so I can make more money, but still have low expenses so that most of that money can be turned into something that can be used in the future. We're taking this wonderful trip to Scotland and Ireland, and it's cost quite a bit. And it's really bothered Lisa because it really kind of chewed into her cushion, her money cushion. And that really bothers her. And I've made mention a few times that I said, Lisa, I get the impression that there's never going to be a point where you feel comfortable. So, you know, like I said, I'll never be able to make any less money than I make right now because you'll always be terrified or something. You know, doesn't matter how much money we put aside, it's never going to be sufficient for you. Got a paid for house. That's good. Says now we're going to have to start doing some, we probably need to do some repairs to it, or we need to do something to get ready. You know, there's going to be the need for a new roof at some point. Says it's the swamp cooler is starting to get really rusty, and I don't know how many more years I'm going to be able to get out of it before I just need to buy a new swamp cooler and have that put in so that we can be comfortable again. And various other things, you know, there's trim that needs to be repainted. It's starting to get a little worn out. We've lived there for, I don't know how long we've lived there. I think I did most of the original painting on it in 2020, probably. So it's probably been about 4 years. It'll be 5 years when I get around to it next year. But it's the whole thing of, okay, and when do I get time to do that particularly, except on every single Friday, you know? Anyway, but that's life, you know? You do what you have to do to take care of what you have to take care of. And these things are necessary. And yeah. Anyway, I want everybody to know that I love my wife very dearly. And I understand her concerns. And I think she's getting a sense for how much, well, you know what? You know, how much gets put into all this stuff, and how much of my life goes into getting this done. Like, you know, people say, well, you got an 8-hour job. I don't know what you're concerned about. You go, no, I've got a 10-hour a day job, and it's got a 2-hour commute along with it, along with the 6 hour coming and going to Lisa. Oh, it's 7 hours. Sorry. That's 7 hours sucked out of my life. And it's like, no, this is a, I don't know, 60 hour a week job. I'm not saying I don't get paid decently. I do. I'm not complaining, but it's just the whole thing of that's 60. That's, well, let me see. 10:40 and then the extra 2 4 days a week. That's another 8 hours. That's 48 hours. And then the extra 7, that's 50. Okay. It's 55 hours a week. It's not 60. It's 55. You know, and you're going, wow, I says, that's a whole lot of time to spend making money. I says, and I said, the really bad part is those extra 15 hours, those are hours spent not making money, but spending money. You know, and I've got a pretty efficient car. It's really good car. Thanks, Sandy. Sandy, the Mitsubishi Mirage. But it still costs money. And that's money I'm not making. That's money clawed back from my income. So to be really honest, a certain amount of this stuff is a clawback. And right now it's about $600 a month gets clawed back from that. So I'm only making like maybe, oh, I don't want to give the figure, but it's not as much as you would think. It's not huge and it's not horrible. Now it is once my car breaks down and I've got to come up with a second car, which I actually have, but it's got over 211,000 miles on it. And how long will that thing last? I don't know. Probably not that long. And it does not get even anywhere near the gas mileage this thing does. So the cost of doing all this will be much higher. So, yeah. And you go, Lisa, I don't know how much of my soul I sell for what you get. At some point, I want to stop doing that. And it's like, as far as I'm aware of, there is no point at which I stop doing that. It's not. It has been calculated a few times, and Lisa's decided that she doesn't like the calculation. We're going to go back to being poor. And you go, well, yeah, come on. Says, you don't get the same fantastic pay after you retire as you had before. You just don't get that. Now, you don't have the expenses, too. And I've got expenses. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah. Anyway, so. But there's only so much to kind of get out of that. And, I do understand how Lisa feels. But I understand how I feel. Said I'm not really interested in dying in this job, doing this. I guess it's a wonderful sacrifice. Anyway, so I'm getting pretty close to the crash site. I need to go ahead and charge things up a little bit. And so this is just going to be a regular recording. This isn't going to be on the podcast. And because, I'm talking about things that really kind of doesn't need to be out there particularly. Don't you know how much I love my wife? Lisa Jane Tomplay Nemro is a wonderful person. I sometimes feel I'm just going to have to do things that she doesn't like. And I'm going to have to say, Lisa, you don't get to have ultimate veto power on this. Because this is me. This is my blood. This is not your blood. Your blood has nothing to do with this. You know, said, I'm sorry. So, I don't know. Sometimes I get a little bit of an impression that after we get done with this big trip to Scotland and Ireland, that Lisa's looking forward to this, and she will just decide that she's ready to go. And boy, and when that happens, usually things fall apart pretty quickly. She's had some larger health problems, and she doesn't want to have any more surgeries, or she doesn't want to have anybody poking at her anymore. She doesn't like it. It was horrible. Lisa is so sensitive to so many things. She had a stent after she had her, it was a kidney stone removed, but it was a big one. And, it was horrible. She was just in horrible pain. And she never wants to do that ever again. And it's like, well, you know, and when they came out, they said, we saw some problems. It looks like carcinoma, malignant. And I guess they had it tested. They came back and they said, yeah, says, this is cancer. And she was like, we're not going to do a thing about it. I'm not going to go through with this. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And it's like, wow, okay. That's okay. I mean, I talk that way, but, you know, I'm in reasonably decent health as far as, you know, now I don't go to the doctor, so I don't know. And I don't have them check all kinds of weird stuff because I don't want to know. I would rather live my life and then drop dead rather than spend a lot of time in doctor's offices extending my life. I figure if things are going badly, it's frankly an opportunity to move on. That's just kind of the way I feel. And, well, there it is. I got to stop now because I really want to charge this thing just a little bit to keep it going. This is Jason. And talk to you guys later. Bye.